Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with Him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. Ron Kangas is with us again today as we near the end of another section of this marvelous life study of Exodus. Brother Ron, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back, and it's good to participate in fellowshipping over a matter that's experientially is very deep. So I'm happy to contribute.
This is a marvelous point, Ron, this divine traffic. I recall that we touched it many times earlier, but particularly in Genesis as we first looked at Jacob's ladder. Of course, in the life study of John, it comes up again as well. But this seems to be a development of what was initially presented in Genesis to some degree, doesn't it?
It is. If we can see deeper into the Word and understand it according to the complete revelation in the Scriptures. As you mentioned, with Jacob's ladder, the reality of which is Christ as the Son of Man, according to John 1:51, we have traffic ascending and descending. Then in the Gospel of John, we have God coming to us in the Lord Jesus for our redemption. And then we have our going to God in the resurrected Christ for our mutual dwelling. And experientially, it just makes sense that in our fellowship with the Lord, there is two-way traffic. There is mutuality. There is motion from God to us and from us to God. And it's striking and it's significant that in Exodus 30, with the holy anointing oil and the incense, we in effect see this kind of traffic. The holy anointing oil was something applied to the tabernacle, to all its furnishings, and to the serving priests. In reality, this is God in Christ as the Spirit coming to us to be our supply, our grace, and our enjoyment. So the movement with respect to the holy anointing oil is the triune God coming to us. So this is the traffic we may save from heaven to earth. Now there should be some response. There should be some return to the Lord. And that's in the incense. The incense with its particular ingredients was burned and produced a fragrance that was very pleasant and satisfying to God. And this ascended to Him. So something comes to us from God for our enjoyment and satisfaction, and this is altogether a matter of the triune God in Christ as the Spirit with divinity and humanity mingled together on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection. Then with the incense, we have something ascending to God for His enjoyment and satisfaction. And this incense also involves the triune God, divinity and humanity mingled together based upon Christ's death and resurrection. And this is a vast realm of experience not appreciated by so many, because not that many of us have gone so deeply into the spiritual things. But here we have something wonderful to look forward to as we advance in the Lord And this is a deeper realization of God coming to us as signified by the anointing oil. And we ourselves, in Christ, experiencing a return to God for His satisfaction. So there's a blessed mutuality here in which God and His redeemed people are mutually satisfied.
Ron, these two recipes, one after another, in Exodus 30, we're going to see in this section today, this first portion, there's some real similarities in these two recipes. Let's join Witness Lee, and we'll come back and talk about that.
Now we come to see the content of this instance. It is very, very interesting to see that in both the anointing ointment and this instance, the numbers like 3, like 4, like 5 are always here. In both cases, not only so, a portrait of the triune God is seen in both cases. And the divinity is in both. And the humanity is also in these two cases. And also in both cases, you can see the mingling of the divinity with humanity. And you also can see the death of Christ. And you can see the resurrection of Christ. Do you still remember the four spices of the anointing ointment? The strange thing is, four spices, but the quantity is of 3 units. 500 shekel, 500 shekel, and in the middle, 2 spices are in the 1 unit of 500 shekel, split into 2 parts. So you have 4 spices, yet 3 units. Surely this gives you a clear picture that the triune God is here, with the middle one cut, crucified. Now, in the incense, you don't have 4 kinds of spices. You only have 3. How do you prove that these 3 are getting the Trinity? Well, listen. The first one is plant, a produce of the tree. And the last one is also a produce of the tree. And the middle one is the shell of a little animal. You know, plant life is just good for generating, for producing. One grain of feed falls into the ground and it grows up into many grains. And that is generating. But behold the Lamb of God. This is for shedding the blood to redeem. And both the Lamb of God and the grain of wheat are all mentioned in one gospel. The Gospel of John. So Christ does have a generating life and a redeeming life. So this shell of a small animal stays in the middle of the 3 spices. Surely it indicates the second of the Trinity died on the cross for redemption. By this you can see Trinity is here again.
Ron, in both the holy anointing oil and also the recipe for the incense at the end of Exodus chapter 30, we see a number of similarities. Both show us many aspects of God in His Trinity, and particularly the aspects of Christ. Can you compare these two recipes for us?
Well, we do see fundamentally the similarities in which we have the triune God, we have divinity, we have humanity, we have the mingling of divinity and humanity, and we have Christ's death, and we have Christ's resurrection. And before we attempt any kind of contrast, if in fact we can make one, we need to be deeply impressed with these common, you could say, ingredients. We have the triune God. Then we have divinity, indicated by certain aspects of the elements. Then we have humanity, especially indicated by the number 4. Then we have Christ's death, and we have Christ's resurrection. We'll see in a later section that a striking difference involves the salt, so why don't we keep that for an approaching segment? And let me just emphasize this point, that there is a particular stress in the incense on Christ's death having an expelling power to it, that the incense has a very particular concentrated emphasis on the death of Christ because, as we'll see with the salt, because we need a very strong and deep and rich experience of the cross of Christ operating in us if we are to offer a pure and fragrant incense to God in our prayer. So there is a particular emphasis on Christ's death. It's very compelling. It's very penetrating. Surely the anointing oil contains the cross and its effectiveness because Christ himself, through the eternal Spirit, died an all-inclusive death to deal with all the negative things. And all this is implied also and included also with the incense. But to summarize, because the incense is something that must pass through our being and involves our being, there is a particular emphasis on Christ's death so that what issues from us in our prayer is really pleasing and fragrant to God.
Well, I think you set up already this coming section. Let me just draw the attention of our listeners to the fact that in the holy anointing oil, we had these 4 principal spices added to the base element of the pure olive oil. In the incense, we're going to see 3 spices, and they are really tempered with salt as the basic element. And we're going to find out this distinction, very meaningful. Here's Witness Lee.
In that ointment, you have 4 spices all blended with 1 olive oil. And here in the incense, you have also 4 elements. 3 spices, 1 frankincense, all not blended, but tempered. Tempered with what? With salt. In the ointment, the tempering element is the oil. In the incense, the tempering element is the salt. When God comes to us, all together is oiled. When we go to God, it's all together salted. When God comes to us, a lot of oil, no salt. Why? He came from a clean place, from a very pure soil, no dirt. But when we go, from where? From the dirt. The soil is dirty, full of dirt. In your prayer, if you are experiencing the Christian life in a finer way, you will find out. Your prayer must be thoroughly salted. What is the element of the salt? That's the cross. God coming to us, He's coming doesn't need the cross. His coming is all together in the oil, in the Spirit. But our going to Him needs the cross all the time. We need the cross. The salt is the cross. The death, the killing death of Christ. We need the killing death of Christ in our prayer. So many books written on prayer. Nearly everyone stresses, are you going to pray? You must pray in the Spirit. But the Bible shows us for our prayer what is needed, not the Spirit, but the salt, the cross. Are you going to pray? You need to be crossed out. Are you going to pray? Your natural being, your natural way, your natural thinking, your natural desire, your natural choice, your natural preference need to be what? Crossed out. You don't know how much dirt is in your being. I don't mean we don't need the Spirit and all, but the main thing is the cross. The main thing is the salt. For us to go to Him in our prayer, we need lots of salt.
Well, Ron, we've talked some about the similarities between the holy anointing oil and the incense, but there's a striking difference, and that is that in the holy ointment, the basic element was the pure olive oil. But in the incense, there's no olive oil, instead salt. Why is this significant about the salt replacing the olive oil?
Both the oil and the salt were for the tempering of all the ingredients, with the compound ointment signifying the all-inclusive spirit. There is no salt because there is nothing in God and nothing in the Lord Jesus that requires the purification signified by the adding of salt. Furthermore, if God in the Spirit and as the Spirit came to us with a lot of salt, we simply could not bear this. We are frail and we could not bear this. But with the oil, there is such an enjoyable application of God Himself to us. But remember, with the incense, we have something ascending from us. And from us actually means out from within us, passing through us. Something is ascending through us to God. And no matter how much we may experience the triune God and divinity and humanity and the mingling of divinity and humanity and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, we are still in the flesh. We still have our old creation. And it's almost unavoidable that some element of our natural life can contaminate this fragrance. So the salt is added to the incense in order to kill, to purge out those elements of our natural life, which would in effect defile the incense and cause it to have an unpleasant aroma. So simply stated, anything that passes through us to God must be salted by the cross, by the death of Christ. And we need to realize what we are in our natural life and gladly accept this salting so that what issues out from us as prayer to God will be something not only acceptable to Him, but enjoyable, delightful, satisfying, pleasing to Him. So this is the main reason for the salt in the incense, but no salt in the anointing oil.
These pictures are so marvelous, Ron. What a privilege it is to be able to handle such a ministry. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The element of the incense, three kinds of fragrant spices. The first one is tacti. It actually is a kind of mirror. Resinous gum used for the purest mirror, signifying the sweet dyes of Christ. Don't forget, the first spice in the ointment was also mirror. And this indicates, either for God's coming to us or for us going to God, the basic need is the death of Christ. Without the death of Christ, no need to say for us to go to God, it is impossible. Even for God to come to us, it's impossible. This is why the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I must go. It is expedient to all of you if I go. If I don't go, God has no way to enter into you. Death opens the way for God to enter into the fallen man. Now, number two, arnica. It's a shell, a kind of shell of a little animal growing in the marshes of the Red Sea. Red Sea, that's the world. Marshes, then the dirty, the sinful, the ugly places. The Lord Jesus became a little animal, a little man, living in a dirty marsh of this world. This here does not only indicate the death of Christ, it indicates that little man Jesus lived such a life, he died for us. for redemption. Among the three species, only this one in the middle is in animal life. And animal life indicates the redeeming life of the Lord Jesus. And then the third one, galbanum, is to repel the old serpent. And all these are tempered by and with the salt. So it is pure and it is sweet. And its sweet smelling is always retained there. It's very meaningful.
Brother Ron, three principal, very fragrant spices were used for this incense: astacte, onycha, and galbanum. And forgive my pronunciation if I've missed any of them. Just as the myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia were all very meaningful in seeing how Christ's death and resurrection are present in the holy anointing oil, now we have spices depicting the same aspects of Christ being present in the incense. These three spices, Ron, are particularly related, aren't they, to the Lord's death? This must be significant.
It's very significant, and in the little time remaining, I would just like to point out, here we have three aspects of Christ's death. We remember that both the animal life related to redemption and the vegetable life related to generating are fulfilled in reality in Christ, and even in his death. He died as the Lamb of God to redeem us, as the grain of wheat to generate us as the many sons of God. The stacte, in particular, refers to the generating of the sons of God through the death of Christ. Then the onycha, being something related to the animal life, is for redeeming. And then the galbanum, which had quite a strong smell, is for an expelling function, for driving away pests, noxious insects, serpents. So these three spices point to marvelously significant aspects of Christ's death. The Lord Jesus died on the cross that we might be generated, actually regenerated, to be sons of God. Christ died on the cross to redeem us and bring us back to God. And Christ died on the cross to expel, to cast out, to drive away Satan. I'm reminded of his word in John 12. When he's referring to his death, he said, "The ruler of this world will be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." So in our experience, we can appropriate the Lord's death and experience the Lord's death in these three ways: the generating aspect, the redeeming aspect, and the expelling aspect. What a wonderful death he died on the cross, and what a wonderful death is applied to us in our experience, that we may pray on the basis of this death in a way to bring delight and satisfaction to the God whom we love and serve.
Ron, as you were talking about the galbanum there and its powerful expelling or repelling property, I was reminded, as you used this phrase, it was effective against the noxious pests, I think you said, and we happen to live in a generation where there's a great need for more galbanum in the experience of God's people, isn't there?
We surely need this desperately. The only thing that can repel the enemy is the death of Christ. We have no power in ourselves to resist, but when we are one with Christ deeply and experientially in his death, then we know the effect of this galbanum, and we have something added to our being which repels everything related to God's enemy and drives the serpent away. This is marvelous.
It's marvelous, and it's very satisfying to us and especially to God. Thank you for your fellowship, Brother Ron.
You're welcome.
And we're out of time, but let me just quickly wrap up by telling you that our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Please call us and we can give you information about these printed Life Study messages and a whole host of material available through Living Stream. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee ministered the Word of God for over 7 decades. Many consider these life studies as his seminal work, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit. If you'd like to find more about Witness Lee, these life study messages, or any of the materials provided by Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. That's lsm.org. You can also email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. Thanks for listening today.